back turnovers, but I think what it shows is that USA gave everything they had. They had a good chance to actually steal this game from Harbor Beach. Clearly, Harbor Beach's game to lose. USA, again, played very, very well, and I think there'll be a tough out in the playoff, but just not enough firepower. Harbor Beach on the other side of things, in my opinion. And the lack of depth at running back is completely depleted now. Well, interesting to see what happens to Tyler Burkhart throughout the week. But Cole Anderson's your downhill back, and you take out Burkhart. Now you don't have any explosive speed, so I fully expect Harbor Beach is going to have to continue to spread people out. James Shuck is going to have to continue 27 carries in a game, and he's going to have to be special. He was tonight, 208 yards on the ground. He's fun to watch, and he's even harder to tackle. He's all over the place, and he's going to have to remain healthy and have good playoff games until they can get some healthy to help on offense.
Harbor Beach, two turnovers on the night. USA had four, and really how USA was brought back into this game, it was 16-0 very quickly, less than 9 minutes into the ball game. It was 16-0. USA then had to punt, but then all of a sudden Harbor Beach is put back all the way back at their 2-yard line, and then that safety went through the hands of the punter, through the back of the end zone for the safety, which then put good field position for the next drive, which started at the 45-yard line of Harbor Beach, marched in off 7 plays, 3 minutes, 53 seconds, to make it 16-10, and that's when the whole game brought on a whole flat point.
They got USA back within 6 points, and the game really never left that 1-2 touchdown lead. USA kind of hung around, and that's all you need to do when you're the underdog in a game, and they had a chance, and
minutes 15 seconds. Harbor Beach 23 minutes 45 seconds. So just a matter of 30-second difference there on the time of possession. So you can cancel that out. And Dave Hansen, what do you think the big key in this ball game was?
Oh, wow. Well, like I said, I really thought if James Shelkey doesn't play the way he does, I just don't know how Harbor Beach wins games unless he goes. It was absolutely phenomenal tonight. But the key play probably would be the fourth down stand they had over here. Harbor USA was driving, and then fourth and four, and they were inside the 30-yard line of Harbor Beach going into score. They had third and four, gained no yards, and then play action pass that fell incomplete. James Shelkey in one-on-one coverage with a guy much bigger than him, Brandon Prime, weren't able to hook up. I think that was the turning point. The game, Harbor Beach goes all the way down the field, takes 5 minutes off the clock, and scores a touchdown to go up by two with less than 3 minutes to go in the game. That's probably where the game was really in Harbor Beach's hands again, but you can still see them experimenting with their offense, trying to get the run game involved, trying to get the wing T in. When they decided to run the ball outside of Cole Anderson, Michael Anderson did under, so then you don't see much of him anymore. So there was a lot of issues there with the running game. Harbor Beach is going to have to figure that out going forward if they want to make a playoff run. Because you know the team next week, if all things prevail, and hold their gaps for all four quarters, and can't push back late in the game when they start to get tired. Nonetheless, I was very impressed with USA's performance tonight. They got a couple key guys coming back next year that I think are going to play a big role. Micah Kramer is going to be back for another year quarterback. I really like Cade Ryerson, especially on defense. And I think they might have something in Gettle. He had very few carries, but they were all crucial. I mean, he ended up with 10 of them for 63 yards, but he was kind of a no-name guy. Didn't really know much about him. Hit you for 11 and 20 yards. Well, you remember the number. And then even after that, it was 4 or 5 yard carries all the time. So USA's got a little bit of a nice future ahead of them moving forward, and hopefully they can get a playoff berth this weekend.
Well, Dave, if the last name of Gettle rings a bell at all, we did just have a Macklin Gettle move through here for 4 years. It was an absolute beast, especially when it came to his final 2 years on this varsity squad. But Dave, you said it yourself, so USA finishes 5-4 on the regular season, but the way it's looking, the projections are showing in Division 7, USA should be able to make it in. We'll see how everything fares out tonight in the matinee games tomorrow, but it's all based on the 5-4 teams are based on the highest points. And how it goes is that once all the six automatic qualifying teams are in. They see how many more they need to fill in, and then they go, all right, we're the highest point team. That's 5-4 from Class A, highest point team from Class B, highest claim from C and D, and repeat to A, B, C, D. And the way it's looking, there should be two teams with less points at 5-4 than USA in Division 7. So that bodes very well for the Patriots.
It does, but because they have there's a lot of crossover games this week. For example, Cass City's playing the Caros and Marlette playing Armada. So you don't know how many of these 4-4 teams go out and beat a B school or a C school and get extra points and maybe slide ahead of USA. There's always that chance. But right now I would say there's about an 80% chance USA makes the playoff, which is a good number, but it's still things can happen.
And, of course, we'll have all the details on our two-hour postseason special this Sunday starting at 6 p.m., an hour early. We will go through week number 9 action at 6 p.m. on Sunday on Sports Radio 102.1 and WLWSports.com with On the Strong Side with Graham V, Paul Adams from the Tribune, and, of course, Dave Hansen from our house here. So week number 9 in at 6 p.m. till 7. At 7 p.m., the MHSA releases the brackets and will release them in real time with you. On the Strong Side, starting at 7 p.m., our second hour of coverage. It'll wrap up the show at 8 p.m. on this Sunday, starting at 6 p.m.
Absolutely. Should be an exciting show. Obviously, we got some great games to talk about. North Huron winning their division, most likely. We got, this game here was obviously we had lots to talk about. There's other games out there we definitely want to look into, get some results in, and then obviously what everybody wants to know is start talking about the playoffs. It's that time of the year already. And, again, nothing excites you more than having a lot of our local teams making the playoffs, seeing who they're going to play in the first round, and trying to figure out what game we're going to cover next week.
Last we heard, halfway through the fourth quarter from our friends at Thumb Tailgater, North Huron was leading Bay City All Saints 56-32. Brown City took out KPEC 52-7. Ubley won over Bannex 44-8 to finish at 7-2 on the season. And we're trying to get as many final scores for you as well as the information and final scores slowly trickle in here in week number 9.
You mentioned Cass City beat Carroll 27-14. Essexville Garber was winning big over Reese at the half. And Marlette and Armada were in a battle at the half, 14-7. Marlette was leading that game.
So we'll have all that stuff, and we'll have all the details come Sunday as well. So if you take a look in the postseason projected, this is not the final, but projected, we have a whole slew of Thumb area teams going to potentially make it into the postseason. In Division 7, more than likely, Cass City, Lakers for sure. USA should be able to squeeze in there. In Division 8, Harbreach and Ubley, both locked in, and they're opposed to potentially have a rematch in week number 10 between Harbreach and Ubley, this time in Harbreach. If that's the case, we'll be there as well. Then you take a look in division in the 8-player football. We have North Huron, you have Kingston, you have Deckerville. There's a whole slew of Thumb area teams with a lot of strength coming out of the Thumb this year.
Yeah, depending on how it goes. I mean, Kindy, Peck, Marion the Librarian, and Bay City are looking to be in the same district or region, if you want to call it that. And then on the other side of that region is Flint International, Battercleek, St. Philip, a couple famous names. And then looking at the division that Deckerville's in, they are looking at a Mayville-Morris-Kingston bracket there. Obviously, Morris giving Decker their only loss, so that could be a big rematch game. And so hopefully the district and the playoffs run through Deckerville, but it's going to be close.
And Dave, let's take a look at Division 7 just as a preview here of what we're going to talk about Sunday night with all the details. But we were talking before this broadcast tonight that Division 7, we could see a state semifinal or final run for one of our area teams here, as you have Cass City, USA, and Lakers, and Flint Hamity all in one district in Region 2, potentially. And you take a look. So Cass City, Flint Hamity in week number 1. Lakers is stronger than ever. And then Cass City and USA. All's Flint Hamity, those B schools, they're picking up 64 points instead of those 48 points per victory. On the other side, in the other district, New Lothrop, Carson City, Crystal Falls, Pulamo, Westphalia, and Saranac. if things fall in the right place and some lucky breaks go in the right way, we can have a team easily in the state semifinals, if not further. As on the other side of the on the whole other bracket, you have Hudson. On that side, you have Cassopolis, Saugatuck, Homer, Union City, Madison Heights, Madison, Rod-